Hebrews 12:1-2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:1-2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 1:2. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they'd be more in number than the sand. Psalm 139:17-18. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to grow in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No greater blessing in this life than for you and me as a believer in our Lord to be able to be in fellowship with Him, to study His Word, to advance spiritually. And that's our reason for being here today. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. I need to remind you at the outset here that in a few moments we're going to begin our reading with Ephesians 3:13. We're going to reiterate some things about verse 19 before we get into Ephesians 3:20. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for your wonderful word. We realize that you've informed us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Understanding that verse of scripture, we realize that if we're to have the mind of Christ, we have to have our minds saturated and captivated with Jesus Christ and His thinking. And that's our reason for being here again today, is to focus our attention upon the eternal truths of your word. We're the recipients of this magnificent message. We have the completed canon of scripture. We're thankful for it. We have the opportunity to be in harmony and in fellowship, cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for the opportunity to advance and to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. May we do that again today, enthusiastically and determined that we're going to be in the very heart and center of your will. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 3, look please at verse 13. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory. This is Philippians 3:13, the Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian believers, but I believe also the Spirit of God is speaking to you and to me. Verse 13 again. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at all my tribulations on your behalf, for they're your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. We are now looking in verses 20 and then next Sunday to conclude this chapter, verse 21. Verse 20 says, now to him who is able to exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. I would ask you, if you will, please, to look back at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. We'll be coming to Ephesians 3:20 in a few moments, but let's look back at Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, excelling knowledge, in order that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. I've discovered along the way that sometimes as I am studying and presenting these various scriptures, I'm typing them out for you. And I become excited about a particular emphasis of a verse. And when I looked at this verse, the thing that grabbed me was excelling knowledge. And you'll remember that we preached 3 sermons on that subject, excelling knowledge. What I discovered later was that what I have on the screen now is the improper way of this verse being presented. You'll notice that it says, and to know the love of Christ, excelling knowledge, in order that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now, some of you have noticed this, and some of you have not noticed this, and I was not aware of it until our Greek students discovered that I had left out 2 Greek words. And so it was called to my attention. You can see on this verse, Ephesians 3:19, that there's an X up here, which simply means that when I looked back and discovered that I'd left off 2 words, and these precious, wonderful people who check things out, trying not to be too abrupt, to be too unkind to me, they reminded me that there were 2 words not there. So I want you to see this translation. This is one we used the last 3 sessions. And you'll notice it says, and to know the love of Christ, excelling knowledge. And then there's the article, the. Then I went right on down and left off a word in my typing out the verse, because I was excited about getting to the information of excelling knowledge. And so then I went on and put down the hina clause, in order that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now, most of you couldn't care less, but I want you to know that I don't want to be inaccurate. And so when I came back after noticing this, I put an X here showing this is not the proper translation. I know you're interested now. Here's the proper translation. I want you to see it, if you can see it from where you're sitting. And to know the love of Christ, excelling knowledge, the Christ, in the Christ, to Christu. Now, you may or may not have noticed that, but that's okay. We do have people who are carefully watching and how we present things, and this had to be presented properly. And when it dawned on me that I'd left out the 2 words, I sent back information, and now on the internet, the proper information is there. You, I know, wanted to hear that information. I want you to be able to see, and to know the love of Christ, excelling knowledge in the Christ, to Christu, in order that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. And so that brings us then to an understanding of the last words of verse 19. I could have moved on and moved into verse 20 this morning. And I know that since it's going to be I'll be 124 before I can preach again on Ephesians, I felt like I had to do it today. And that's to let you see that we cannot leave verse 19 without taking a look at the last words where it says, you may be filled to all the fullness of God. And so there's some special words that you have to see, and we're going to see them very briefly before we move into verse 20. There's the Greek word pleres, P-L-E-R-E-S. It is translated full or nothing lacking. It is translated complete, fully possess. The reason why these words are so important is for you and me as believers to be able to see that our Lord is speaking through the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian believers and to us. And he's saying there are some things that you and I need to know. And that is, while we're here on this earth, we have the responsibility of having the fullness of our Savior Jesus Christ. Fully possess, nothing lacking, play race. Another word that is used is pleroforeo. Here it is in Greek, here it is in English. P-L-E-R-O-P-H-O-R-E-O. It means to fill out. It means to fill up a deficiency. It means to fully and completely possess. Why am I emphasizing the importance of these words today? Because you and I have to know that we only have a few more years on this earth, and while we're here, God is saying through the Apostle Paul and to us that we have the responsibility of not lacking in our Christian lives. We are to be the recipients of the filling of the Holy Spirit. We are the recipients of the influence of the Holy Spirit. We have the responsibility of knowing that we have to have nothing lacking. We're to be complete. We're to be fully possessed by the power of God. We have to understand that there is to be a filling up of the deficiency, which simply means that you and I as believers have some deficiency. Then we look at another word. It is a word in the Greek, P-L-E-R-O-P-H-O-R-I-A, pleroforia. That word now means full assurance. It means certainty. And then there's the word pleroma, P-L-E-R-O-M-A, that which fills, fullness. Now, let's go back and look at the passage of Scripture. You have to see this to really appreciate verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, excelling knowledge in the Christ, in order that you may be filled. And we'll look at this word right here, and it is pleroo, P-L-E-R-O-O. The way the word is used, it is an aorist, point of time, passive voice, subject receives the action, subjunctive mood, may or may not be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it says that you may be filled to all the fullness, and that word fullness there, again, is that Greek word pleroma, P-L-E-R-O-M-A. I need to tell you that in Ephesians 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not something to make you odd or strange or foolish. The filling of the Holy Spirit is designed by the Heavenly Father to make us normal and to have a victorious, triumphant life while we're here on this earth. So the word plero'o is a powerful word. And I could see, as I was studying verse 20, which is planned for today, that I would do you a disfavor if I did not go back and let you take a look once more at verse 19. And that's the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. There are 11 ways that the word plero'o is used. And so I put on the screen now 11 ways and a conclusion. I trust that all of you will at least mentally take notes. It would be wonderful if you could take this down. We'll have it on the internet for you to see. But I want you to see what the word means here. That we might be filled, fill up a deficiency, fill completely. All of the words that I gave you synonyms a few moments ago. Plero'o is used then for Christian advance and Christian growth. It has an emphasis upon the construction of what we call the spiritual house of the soul. In other words, plero'o is used for growth, the construction of the spiritual house of the soul, in the humanity of Jesus Christ, and in the humanity of the born-again believer. By the time Jesus Christ was 11 or 12 years of age, in his flesh on the earth, he had reached what we would classify as the echo zone. And we find that presented in Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Where Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You can go back and look at it, if you will, later. But Luke 2:40 gives us the four areas where Jesus Christ advanced. Jesus Christ advanced while he was on the earth, in the flesh, in wisdom and in knowledge, in favor with God and man. I have not time to discuss this at length. Number two, the same verb is used in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, in Ephesians 3:19, Ephesians 4:10, and Colossians 1:9, for the construction of the spiritual house of the church age believer. In other words, what you have in Luke 2:40 is an emphasis upon how well-rounded Jesus Christ was while he was on this earth in the flesh. You can study that yourself, but you can see all four areas of the life of Jesus Christ on the earth during his time in the incarnation presented beautifully in Luke 2:40. The same verb is used in Ephesians 3:19, Ephesians 4:10, Colossians 1:9, all emphasizing that we, you and I, are responsible for having the same four areas developed as Jesus had developed in his humanity on the time that he was on the earth. Number three, the verb is also used for the believer being controlled by the Holy Spirit. I don't have the time to give you all the information, but I do want you to see the 11 different ways that this word is used. Number four, the word plero'o is used for God's perfect happiness in the believer, as that the believer gets to the mountain peak of the echo zone. The major thing that I'm emphasizing from verse 20 is reaching the mountain peak. What I want you to see in connection with the preceding verse, verse 19, that the word plero'o is used for God's perfect happiness and in relationship to the believer, as that believer climbs the mountain to the mountain peak of the echo zone. Most of us are familiar with all of those words that I've just given you. Philippians 2:2, 1 John 1:4, John 16:24, and John 17:13. That word, plero'o, is used 11 different ways. Number five, plero'o is used for the production of vertical good. In other words, accomplishing things in the power of the Spirit of God in Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. I trust you're taking some of these notes and some of these verses down. Number six, plero'o is used for the pastor who communicates faithfully the Word of God to His right congregation. And that's beautifully presented to us in Colossians 1:25. I want you to be able to see again how, when I think in terms of tomorrow being the beginning of year 44 for us, my responsibility has been loving you through these years and faithfully communicating so that you and I would be able to advance to the mountain peak of the echo zone, Colossians 1:25. Number 7, plero is used for the freedom of the believer through our right relationship with Jesus Christ in salvation called positional truth, Colossians 2:10. Number 8, plero is used for the financial security of the pastor through giving, whereby he is able to devote time to the study of the communication of the Word. This is presented to us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. The Lord has done quite well over the years in taking care of your pastor and his family. Number 9, plero is used for the completed structure of the spiritual house. Notice, if you will, what we have on the screen for you. 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And notice again that the Greek word is plero. And so I've put it here in the Greek, but when it's moved into the English, that's what you see. And so oftentimes when we're translating, it comes up in the English translation rather than in the Greek. And that should be a Greek word, which is plero. And notice, if you will, that your joy may be full. And the subjunctive verb there is that it may or may not be full. Your joy, my joy as a believer, may or may not be what it should be, depending upon our choice of response to the Lord Jesus Christ on a day-by-day basis. So plero is an emphasis upon having our joy and happiness full. Number 10, plero is used for the fulfillment of Christ through the church under the analogy of the right man, right woman relationship. There's an entire message to be presented here in relationship to how God planned for the relationship of a husband and wife to be beautifully presented as a representation of Jesus Christ being the groom and the church family being the bride. Most of us are familiar with that, so I won't give any information more on it. Number 11, plero is used for the failure to detect any echo zone believers in the local church. In other words, the Lord cannot find any echo zone believers in the church at Sardis. And that's found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. Now, some of you have noticed something, and that is that I said at the beginning 11 ways. And I'm on point 12. Notice, if you will, please. Every believer has some deficiency. Therefore, daily spiritual advance is absolutely essential. All I want to do is to just bring you up to date and let you see that we have some more information from Ephesians 3:19. Now, if you will, please, let's look at our verse for today. Ephesians 3:20. You see it in your insert in the bulletin. You will notice, if you will, please, the translation that is given to us. And this comes from our translator from the German, Dennis Heckethorn. Ephesians 3:20, look at it. But to him who is able to do more than anything else, more than we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. On the screen, you see this verse. You see it also inside your bulletin as an insert. Let's look at it for a few moments. Now to the one being able, beyond all things, to do superabundantly of which we ask or think according to the power operating in us. What I want you to be able to see today is that we have an emphasis on what takes place in the believer's life. And I have it here somewhere to show you how fantastic this is. We have an emphasis upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the one who has presented to us the opportunity of advancing to what is known as a mounted peak life. Now, I have to look at this very quickly and see where all I put my notes today. I probably didn't bring everything that I wanted to, but we're going to spend a few moments looking at the translation here. If you'll notice, there's a first word, being able. And I look at this word and I see that it is the word dunamai. Dunamis is the Greek word for power. Dunamis could be translated dynamite. And so the Lord is saying to us, there is some dynamite that is designed for your life and mine. Notice, if you will, it says, now to the one being able beyond all things, and the word is a present passive participle, dative, masculine, singular, of this word, dunamai. Now to the one being able beyond all things to do. Now we stop on the word do. It is the aorist active infinitive of poieo, P-O-I-E-O. Learned long time ago that the word is to make or to do, poieo, P-O-I-E-O. If you'll notice here the way the word is used, it is an infinitive, which means a wish or desire. It is God's plan for the believer to have a wish or desire to fulfill and have an abundant, superabundant life, to do superabundantly, which we ask. And now I notice something else. The Greek word for ask here is a present tense, but the middle voice is used. Do you remember what it means when you have an active voice? The subject produces the action. When you have a middle voice, you remember what that means? The subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. So we have a present tense, middle voice, the indicative mood. So this is simply saying that when the believer is asking, that is beneficial to that believer. Present tense, it continues to be, and the indicative mood is the mood of reality. Now to the one being able, beyond all things, to do superabundantly of which we ask or think. Now we stop again on another word. This is exciting to me because I realize that I taught you in recent days, and in my Greek class I teach the guys that there is a word that describes your mind. And the word that describes your mind is the Greek word nous, N-O-U-S. If you take, and that's a noun, if you take that noun and turn it into a verb, we all know that a noun that moves into a verb means that the verb means an action word. And so that's what we have here. We have the word nous, but now we have an action word, which is noeo, N-O-E-O. Notice it says, to do abundantly, of which we ask or think. And the word think now is the utilization of that word nous, mind. But the mind now is not dormant, it's not idle. It is in process, it's moving. And so the word is noeo. We think, present tense, continues to think. Active voice, a subject, each individual believer does this. The indicative mood is the mood of reality. And he says, we think according to the power. Now let's look at it again. Up here we had the word which meant the ability or dynamite. Here we have again that same word. If you'll notice up here is a verb. Down here is the word power, D-U-N-A-I-M-I-N. Notice, if you will, please, power, the dynamite. Then notice the last word that is emphasized here as far as the verb is concerned, operating in us. And you'll notice again how beautiful this word is. Present tense, God's Spirit is taking us as we advance on a day-by-day basis, taking us up the mountain peak to the mountain peak of the fulfillment of God's plan for us to have victory and triumph in this life. And there you'll notice that it is a middle voice which says that the subject is participating in the action and is benefited thereby. So, here we go. Now to the one being able, beyond all things, to do superabundantly. God's plan is for the believer not to be dormant, not to allow gnosis, not to be transferred to epinosis. We've studied that, haven't we? To do so superabundantly, of which we as believers ask or think according to the power, the dynamite, and then again that beautiful word, operating, continually moving along in us. And it's a present middle, which means the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. Let's look again at our scripture. Go back, if you will, with me to verse 13. What do we have in Ephesians 3:13? The Apostle Paul says, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf. For my tribulations are designed for your glory. You're looking with me, please, at verse 13. What we have to see here is that the Lord has designed a plan for us so that we can have victory and triumph and joy and peace and happiness every single day. There is a plan that we call reaching the magnificent point of the echo zone. Echo zone simply means that the word echo means to have and to hold. It emphasizes the fact that the believer is to grow on a day-by-day basis, to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ, to learn, to advance, to have the thinking of Jesus Christ, to be able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint, continue to pass through the various stages of babyhood, adolescence, youth, on up the line to an advanced believer so that that person can be triumphant and victorious in this life. And that's the reason why the Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to understand, I don't want you to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory. Then verse 14, for this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family member in heaven and on earth derives its name. Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Then verse 17, so that Christ may house down, dwell in your hearts by means of faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. If you'll remember, when we got into verse 17, we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ desires to be at home in your life and in mine. He doesn't want to be a stranger in your life. He wants to be at home in your heart and life. I trust that no one is saying to the Lord, you're welcome in my heart, in my life, but there's a part over here that I don't want you to mess with at all. You can go to this room or that room or this room, but don't go to that other room right there. I've shut that one away from you. In other words, what we're saying in doing that, we're not allowing him to house down or to be at home in every aspect, every facet of our lives. You know yourself better than anyone else other than the Lord. And you know whether there is something that's in your life related to being out of fellowship and under the control of the old sin nature, you know as well as anyone, perhaps better than anyone else other than the Lord, you know if you're shutting that door down to the Lord and saying you're welcome in the other areas of my life, but you're not welcome there. This verse of Scripture is saying us that Jesus Christ desires to house down, to dwell in your hearts by means of faith, and that you and I be rooted and grounded in love. That takes us to verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And then our verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Now that's an interesting way of it being said. Notice, if you will, please, that the verse says, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Let's stop for a moment right there. Gnosis is the word for knowledge. Epignosis is the Greek word for full, complete knowledge. We've been emphasizing in the past sessions that we are to be very careful that we do not allow ourselves to take in the Word of God and it be gnosis, and we allow the gnosis information to stay there and become dormant and become dangerous. When that happens, what happens to us is that we are under the control of our sinful nature and we move away from thinking that is divine to thinking that is subjective. There are two words that describe that. Phroneo is the word which means thinking from a objective standpoint. Dokeo is a Greek word that describes thinking from a subjective standpoint. What you have to see here is that if a person takes in information and they do not add to it, they do not blend it with faith, they do not increase their knowledge, and it is not transferred from gnosis to epignosis, then what happens is Satan comes in and moves that person, because that person gets out of harmony under the control of their sinful nature, and that person becomes the recipient of the thinking of Satan that is not phroneo, which is objective thinking, but dokeo, which is subjective thinking. If you're listening carefully, you're able to see my train of thought. You're able to see how wonderful something is that can become extremely dangerous. We're not going to move to the mountain peak, and we're going to be dealing with this in the second session in detail. We're not going to move to the mountain peak of the echo zone as a believer if we do not determine that we're going to take gnosis and transfer it to epignosis, utilizing truth, receiving more truth, adding to that truth, receiving that truth, believing that truth, accepting that truth, utilizing that truth, taking it away from the dormant gnosis part and transferring it on up into epignosis, that is taking that believer on up the mountain peak to reach a point of joy and peace and happiness that you cannot have if you don't take that trip and move yourself up to the mountainside, to the mountain peak of the echo zone. Notice, if you will, again, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. And then 19, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. I have to hasten to get into verse 20, because that's where we need to be in the next session. But we're going to stop right there and let you think about the fact that we're going to be looking in great detail at a magnificent verse, Ephesians 3:20, as we move to the next session. May we bow for prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to begin to see again what a great life you have designed for each of us as believers in Jesus Christ. We are to be made aware of the fact that we're not to stay dormant. Even though we receive information and we accept spiritual information on a day-by-day basis, we're not to allow that information to lie dormant, because we realize that when that occurs, we have the influence of satanic power that moves in and moves the person to be thinking subjectively and not objectively. As we close this service today, we ask that you will bless those who hear this message, those who've yet never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that they will understand that when God loved, He loved the world. And when Christ died, He died for everyone. And the Bible says that Jesus is the only way of salvation. In fact, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." We pray that there will be those at this very moment who will accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." We pray that there will be those who do that right now. And we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.